Welcome to Makers Figuring It Out, a show where we strive to educate, motivate, and inspire makers of all skill levels with special guest makers, tips and tricks, do's and don'ts, and many things in between, and helping me figure out what we're trying to figure out, as always, my buddy Jacob. How are you doing, friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
And we were having a little fun in the beginning of the show, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
So it's a good time. You can actually tell when somebody's smiling when they're talking. You know what I'm saying?
I could actually physically see you smiling. You were struggling with that opening a little bit, but totally cool. Totally cool. We won't worry about that.
There you go. Now you don't have to look at me. Smart ass.
For those of you that can't see, he just shut his video off.
I just shut my video off because he doesn't need to see me.
Well, by the way, totally not. Neither does anyone else.
By the way, I was slipping. Well, that's why I have a voice for radio.
Exactly.
And by the way, I was slipping you off the entire time that I was not on the screen. So, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good. Doing really well. Got some projects done. Got the wine caddy video up, and I was doing really well. I'm really happy with how it came out. Really, I think it really hit my taste on that one. Really good.
Dude, I have to say, I loved it. I love you like a brother, but dude, it was awesome. I thought it really was. So two thumbs up if I could give you two thumbs up.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. So got that done. Working. I finished the couch caddy that I've been in collabing with Jared from Dead Cape Creation. So I've got that done, got it in the box, ready to ship that out to him.
That was the shiny one, right?
Yeah, the shiny one.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, pretty shiny.
But shiny.
That's the shiny one, the one that I brushed the Shoshugimon finish on, and I finished it with the Halcyon.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's done in the box. Got the footage, just waiting to send it to him and get the other half of the footage from him. And then now I'm working on these custom tire valve covers for the Jeep.
Interesting. I can't wait to see that because I have so many things in my mind that are like tire cover. Okay.
You know the cap that goes on the the valve?
Yeah.
The cap that goes onto the valve that you inflate the tire with.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, was thinking like and I'll be the first one to admit, it's a stupid project. It's incredibly stupid and impractical, but I just wanted to add, just a little bit of my own style.
You want to try lathing.
That comes out.
Right? You want to try lathing. Is that it?
Actually, no, I'm not. I'm not turning them. I'm cutting it. I'm shaping it mostly on the table saw. And then from there, it's really just cutting a hole in the center and then gluing it in, essentially.
Oh, well, maybe you should try lathing it.
I might try lathing it, but if I do, I'd probably ask our guests today.
I was about to say, I don't know if lathing is a term, but our guests should know.
Is it lathing, being lathed, turning?
Getting lathed.
Getting lathed.
Like I'm getting lathed. That would you say when you get a new lathe? I'm getting lathed.
Being lathed. And you know who's getting lathed today? It's Emmett from Dead Rise Woodcraft. That's who's getting laid right now.
Okay, you did mean to say laid, right?
No, lathe.
You said laid twice.
No, I said lathe.
Emmett? Okay, folks.
I heard laid. Anyway.
You're listening to this, so he said laid twice.
Laid. Laid. Laid.
That's a anyway, hashtag.
We're definitely...
Shut up. My tongue doesn't work, okay? Laid.
That's why you don't get lathed.
You took it right out of my mouth.
Yeah, as my girlfriend comments in the background.
Welcome to the show, Emmett.
I could go somewhere, but I'm not going to go where I was going to go.
Because it would probably have to deal with a beep or something like that. And if you listen to the last episode, there were plenty of laser blasters everywhere.
Oh yeah, this is welcome to the show, kids. Buckle up.
Yep. So speaking of lathing,
lathed.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say turning.
Turning. There you go.
Because I can't seem to pronounce the word properly.
Oh, that is going to make a great outtake. All right.
So how are you doing, Emmett? How's it going? Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Absolutely.
That was just, oh my God, it was funny.
Can we move on?
I know. I'm just sorry. My brain is still stuck on getting lathed.
I'm still a 12-year-old boy inside, so no.
Getting lathed. Actually, you know what? I'll make a shirt design out of that because that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I don't know.
Getting laid. I'll put that in like, or actually, you should. I mean, you should make a shirt design out of that and just sell that with like Dead Rise Wood Crabs getting laid.
I'll
put it center mass, man. Come on.
Yeah, especially if you, you know, your center mass is as big as mine, then it's just a big billboard.
Exactly. Well, then it costs too much to make.
Yeah, it's too much ink.
I don't know which was
you walked right into that one.
You're right. I was wondering. Actually, it's really sad. I was wondering which is more expensive, the ink or the material.
One can only guess.
I was going to say that probably the ink.
Yeah.
Probably the ink.
It's not cheap. I do some. I do screen printing up all my shirts. I do my own. So.
Really?
Ooh, yeah.
Crap. We're going to send our stuff to you, so you can screen print all of our stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a fun hobby. I mean, you can get into it pretty cheaply, actually. So,
but that's interesting. So you tell me that any person that gets a Dead Rise Woodcraft shirt it's literally handmade by you,
hand printed by me. There's only a couple out there that I sent out. Jake Thompson has one, and I actually have one for Ethan Carter.
It's nice.
Still in my I'm making him a pen, but I need to get out there and turn a pen.
Yeah, that's the caveat to that, right?
Yeah.
So how do two awesome makers that have you on their podcast get a hold of a original?
Just probably ask nicely.
Oh, okay. Jacob, don't ask him because I know you can't do that.
I can do nice. What the hell's wrong with you? I can do nice. Screw you.
See? You can do nice.
I can totally do nice. So, Emmett, how you doing today?
Good.
So, I guess I'll start it off with the first question, since we haven't already devolved into debauchery already. Where does Dead Rise come from? What's the origin of that name?
So a Dead Rise, it's a type of boat that's used in the Chesapeake Bay, all over, but mainly in the Chesapeake Bay. The watermen use them for crabbing, fishing, oysters. And I grew up on the Chesapeake Bay in Virginia, so. When I was starting my YouTube and Instagram, I kind of wanted to pay homage to my hometown or, you know.
Nice.
So that's, you know, I didn't go with this, being from Pittsburgh or living in Pittsburgh. Everything's Three Rivers, so I didn't want to do that. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, I have an uncle that makes, they're usually wood, but I have an uncle actually just retired, but he made wooden Dead Rise boats.
Wow. Is that like an extensive process, I would imagine?
Yeah. I mean, they're like, they can be like 50 feet long. So they're pretty big boats.
Wow.
Isn't that the kind of boat that they used in Jaws?
Possibly.
I think that was the one they used in Jaws where like, we need to get a bigger boat.
And it's mostly a hull design, but.
Right. Actually, I did look it up because I didn't really understand what Dead Rise was. I knew it was to do with the hull.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize it was a boat, type of boat.
Yeah. When I first started, people thought it was zombies.
Nice. Until they saw the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until they see the logo. But you know, what's funny is that if anybody here in this group should know about, you know, Dead Rise and like which boats, it should be the sailor that happens to be co-hosting this.
That is true. That's very true.
You know, and I've said this time and time again. I was in the military. Yes, I was in the military, and I don't know everything about the Navy. You know,
he's a seaman, but
there's a lot. I was not. I was one time.
He wasn't. You weren't a commercial fisherman, though. So
no, I was not. Yes, but I was. No, I was not.
It's different.
I was not that kind of seaman. We're just gonna leave that as it is.
Yeah.
But it's like I say, you know, people, when I tell people that, you know, I don't know how to swim, but I know how to float. They're like, dude, you were in the Navy for 20 years. You don't know how to swim. And I'm like, there are people in the Air Force for 20 years. They don't know how to fly.
Fair true. Point.
You know,
fair point. Fair.
So
I mean, life vest.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I actually, the Chesapeake, you got a lot of clams out there.
Yeah, they're
clams and blue shells, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the one thing I miss living in Pittsburgh is hard crabs.
So I never really got into the blue crabs. I think that's what, no, isn't that the?
Yep.
Yeah. With the mallet and smashing them and.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you have plenty of blue crabs where I'm from.
Yeah.
I'm from Florida, South Florida. So, like, growing up, like, we always knew about blue crabs and like fillet crabs, or even was it stone crabs? Was it stone crabs down there? I mean, yeah, we had hermit crabs, but I think we had stone crabs down there too. But we had, and also like ghost crabs, all sorts of different kind of.
I'm going bad again. I told you, 12-year-old boy. So.
Yeah. Focus.
Somebody else like me. I love it.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yep, I haven't grown up yet.
So, Steve, do you want to ask a question?
Do I? I have many questions, but I'll ask Emmett once. So I'm going to give a little background. Emmett, you've already heard the story because you were part of it, but I'm going to give a little background on this question. So I'm at my house the one day, and I get this little package, and it's from Dead Rise, you know, Woodcrafts. And I'm like, oh, that's really nice of Emmett to send me something. So I open it up, and there's little scraps of paper, and I was like, He cut up the note that he sent me, and he wants me to put it back together. And he had this little tree, little looking thing in a little shell, glass shell. And I was like,
a little bubble.
Yeah. And I was like, thanks. I think that's a tree. And then I'm looking at it, it's like, oh, that's just paper. I thought it was a note that I had to put together, and there was some kind of note and tree, they went together, that I had to figure out because, you know, the show. Mm-hmm. And so I messaged Emmett and said, dude, thank you so much for the little gift or blah, blah, blah. What is it? And of course, it was a little tree inside a glass shell. So I thought it was kind of funny. And I'm like, oh, good, because that's exactly what I thought it was.
I broke mine. It made it all the way here to Louisiana. Safely, as we were talking about this before the show, is that it made it, and then I thought that it turned and like you could take the top off. No, you didn't. It was not meant to do that, and then I broke it.
And he broke it.
But you can take the top off. It's just
kind of,
yeah, it's hard to get it back on.
Can't get it back on.
Glued it back on. So my question, that leads up to the question, why little trees?
I did one for one of the maker swaps on a little base, and I liked it. So I made one for my wife that was a little bit more involved than the one I did for the maker swap. I put a little river on it, and probably the world's smallest epoxy river pour.
Yeah. Hey, you got to check it out. It's on his Instagram page. It actually is kind of cool looking.
And I made a fire pit that lit up and that kind of thing. It was.
Yeah. I saw the one, like what you're talking about, like with the, has all the different trees on it and the little river on it. That looked really cool.
And actually,
another one that I saw on there was like you had the Coca-Cola pen on there, which is really cool.
Yes, yeah, I just made that for my brother. He collects Coca-Cola stuff, and I got that blank. I've had the blank for a while. It's actually a Coke barrel, but and then I had a label cast pin top. Yeah, it was an interesting blank just because it was, you know, an old Coca-Cola syrup barrel, but it wasn't the prettiest wood. I mean, I sold it to him, and he was like, dang, he was really like that. But I was like, it's not the prettiest piece of wood in the world, but it's cool that it was a Coca-Cola barrel.
Yeah, that it's interesting, the character to it, right? But it's never usually too pretty, right?
Yeah, it wasn't like a, you know, like a whiskey barrel or a wine barrel. It wasn't oak. I don't know what it was. I have no idea. It was really light.
Balsa wood.
Yeah, it did. The grain was not very pretty. Bass. What was neat is it had residue on the inside of the barrel, and it was red on the outside for Coke. But of course, when you turn that, it's gone when it's turned. So
okay, we are talking about Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Pop. For those Coke. Of in the Northwest, you know, pop. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Pop. Yeah. Weird people say pop.
I grew into it moving to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Is that what they say out there? Pop?
Yeah. Pop.
Okay. because we say soda out here. So for those of you who don't know, Emmett is on the western side of Pennsylvania near Pittsburgh, and I am on the eastern side close to Philadelphia. So it's some weirdness ensues wherever you are, because they say pop out there, we say soda. Hi.
lots of interesting words here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well, when I was in Washington State, they said something about, hey, honey, do you want that in a sack? I'm like, you mean a bag? So
I don't. Oh, yeah. Like, if you want interesting words, come to New Orleans.
Oh,
I feel like they just throw letters together and just make up shit just cuz. there's a word that, like, if you saw it, it looks like you would say it like lag nappy, but it's lanyap. And you don't know that it's lanyap until after like the 10th or 20th try that you try to pronounce it. Then you ask someone that's from here and you say, oh yeah, that's lanyap. But you still have no idea what it means. Like, can either of you tell me what lanyap means? I couldn't for a while until like yesterday.
It sounds French.
Ish.
It has to do with food?
No, not even, not at all. Lanyap. See, this can be our like maker thing. Like, yeah. If whoever can tell me, like, hit me up on Instagram with what lanyap means, gets a prize.
Yeah, but there's a thing called Google. So, yeah,
truthfully, I'm not even sure if you could you could Google lanyap.
No, no, no. How do you spell it?
That's what he's not going to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, part of the challenge.
Lanyap. And yeah, just, you know, do the speak and I'll talk the text and see what it comes out with.
Oh, there you go. Oh, actually, I'll be damned. You can actually Google it and there's a definition. I'll be damned.
Is that a gift?
It's something given as a bonus or extra gift.
Oh, like a little tree in a bubble.
Yeah, it's actually a little tree. Like, so like this would be your little tree here would be a lanyap.
Look at that segue.
See, nice. Exactly. Nice. I like it. I like Way it. See, there's an educate part of our show.
Yep. Or you can call it what they call it up here in the Northeast, a tchotchke.
Yeah.
A tchotchke.
Tchotchkes. Instead of curio cabinet, they call it little tchotchkes.
Tchotchke. Okay.
And it could be anything that goes on a shelf, really. There's knickknacks in other parts of the country.
Knickknacks, doodads.
Yep.
Whatchamacallits.
Dust collection crap.
Pretty much, yeah.
Free shit.
Emmett, I was looking at your Instagram page, and it wasn't until I was watching epoxy pours and people that do that, that I noticed there's a red and black. It looks like a pen, but it's actually, what do they call that? A dough. Isn't it for cooking? Actually, you put that in the corner. I already lost you, haven't I?
The ornament?
No, no, no.
The one that's sitting on top of the bow?
Yes, that one.
Yes.
Oh, that's the is that a wine bottle cork?
No, it's just an ornament for a tree, a Christmas ornament.
Oh, it's an ornament.
Seriously?
It's an ornament, Steve.
I've seen people use that when they're doing epoxy.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. The little tool that does the
that thing,
swirls and all that.
No, it's
beforehand. They do it for the caulking around the outside.
Oh, okay.
You let it dry. And then you pull off.
Peel it up. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It does look like that.
Yeah. For the silicone, I forget what it's called too. But yeah, when you do the silicone around your edges to seal it up, and then you just take that ball. And then that tool to go around the edges, and it gives you that nice clean seam, and then you just peel up the excess on the sides.
Yep. Exactly. It does look like that from that angle.
Yeah. Okay. It does. So I just wanted to make sure that I'm just making sure that I'm not nuts. But you and I actually,
it's not that, and it's an ornament. Just so you know,
I want to make it what it is.
Sure.
See.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
You can use it for that. I'm sorry.
I probably could. Anyway. So I'm actually looking at your page again, and you and I use actually the same earplugs.
The Elgin.
Yeah.
Those things are great.
Quincy's.
A great company. I reached out to them when I got to 1,000 followers on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even own a pair. So I just reached out and was like, hey, I'm doing it. giveaway and just wanted to know if you were interested, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were like, absolutely. So they sent me a pair of the Discord, and they got lost in the mail. So, you know, I sent the guy a message. I said, hey, sorry, but, you know, they got lost in the mail, but don't send me another pair. I appreciate you guys, being nice enough to send them to me in the first place. So they sent me two more pair.
Just in case one got lost.
Yeah. And then the original one showed up. So then
you got three.
I gave the other ones away, and then I emailed them and said, you know, hey, I didn't pay for these and I feel bad that you sent me three. Do you want them back? And they were like, no, just keep them. And they've been super. I mean, they sent me, I've gotten shirts, stickers. They sent me the sign that's in my garage that I just got last week or so. It's one of my early pictures.
Cool. What's the company called again?
Elgin.
Yeah. Dead Riders Woodcraft, sponsored by Elgin.
Yeah, I mean, they're in super great people. I mean, I talk to them all the time.
Yeah, nice. I have those, and I bought them straight because they're Bluetooth and for the shop.
Yeah, they're great.
The only thing I didn't like about them is, well, they do go in your ear canal, and after a while of them being in there, kind of get irritating.
Yeah, they don't bother me much. I get itchy in my ears when I have even just regular earphones on for a while. But you know, I did an unboxing. It's actually my best video on YouTube. It's got like 4,000 views or something like that. I mean,
Now it's going to have 4,002.
and like I said in the video, I was honest. You know, I was like, hey, they're not a Bose, and they're not a, you know, they're not like Beats or anything. They're not going to give you great sound quality, but they sound great. I mean, I wear them all day. I put them in when I walk in the garage, and I listen to music all day.
Yep, that's how that's when I had my shop. God, I miss my shop.
They're definitely good at sound canceling. I'll drop stuff on the floor and be like, did I drop something on the floor? Because I didn't even hear it.
Hopefully it's not a hammer.
No.
You missed that one. Anyway, so I just thought it was kind of cool. I was looking through your, you know, I was, what do they call that? Creeping your page. Because trolling your page. Oh, okay. So what is it creeping when you're 12? I don't know.
Or stalking, I think it is.
That would be if you were looking at a 12-year-old's page.
Oh
boy.
Wow. Okay, thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you next week.
All right, and that's the interview process. You're hired.
Okay, so it was kind of funny that and I just realized this today that Emmett did a video that I watched even before I knew Emmett was going to be on the show. And I was scrolling through his Instagram page, same thing, pretty much. They're owned by the same company.
Sure.
And I thought it was a phone book, but it was an actual book. Why don't you tell us, Emmett, about the whole thing? Because I'll ruin it.
So I had the idea. So I did the Maker Swap last year, all through the year. So I feel like I'm pretty organized. So I had an Excel sheet for every month Excel sheet for the year with every month spelled out and ideas that I had. And I was trying to keep it themed. So like, you know, it was either had the theme with whoever I was swapping with or like the time of the year, you know, I did like an egg for Easter and a snowman for December. So I got to September and I was like, you know, back to school, you know, so I was like, back to school books. So I wonder if that's ever been done. I'd never seen it. I started Googling, you know, books and resin, and I wasn't getting anywhere. So I'm like, I don't know if this will work or not. I mean, I can try it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And then I came across Peter Brown's video where he made hammer. And I'm like, oh crap, it's called Micarta. So I was like all excited. Here's how oblivious I am. I didn't even know who Peter Brown was.
Really?
So I reached out to him. I'm like, hey, can I pick your brain? Cause I'm going to do this thing. And then I go back to his page and realize he's got like 800,000 subscribers. And I'm like emailing him back like, hey, I'm sorry. I know you don't have time for that. I just thought he was like, you know, another YouTuber that's making videos.
Just another Peter Brown out there.
I'm addicted to him now. But yeah, so I kind of followed his video and soaked the book in resin. You know, you have to do every five or six pages. This book had like 300 pages. So it took me like an hour to get it completely soaked. Then I let it sit for a week. And then I cut it in half and glued it back together. So my original plan was a bowl. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to do a sphere at some point. So that was my first sphere, was
the Nice.
It came out great. The guy that I sent it to loved it. I didn't want to send it to him because it came out so great, but
he's like, this is nice. You can't have it.
Yeah, exactly. Everything I did for this maker swap, every month I felt like I was getting a little better at doing stuff. And every month I was just like, now I want to keep this.
I want to keep this. It almost looks like a baseball.
Yeah, it was about, and it was about the size of a softball probably.
So the one thing that, so you, I mean, I watched a video. So you pretty much, like you said, every three or four pages, you actually were putting epoxy in there and then squishing it down. And then why wouldn't you, this is just spitballing here. Couldn't you have put it in a pressure pot or something like that?
I thought about that, but then I was just following Peter Brown. I was like, oh, that's what he did. So
we were talking about one of our previous guests, Jake Thompson from whatever his channel is. Yeah, he is. He really, what a bugger.
We're good friends. I talked to him pretty much daily.
Northside Customs. So I was like, I was surprised that you know, you're friends with him, and he didn't say, dude, you need to put that in the pressure pot.
And I do have a pressure pot. I built one and I've never used it. Because when I first started, you know, getting into it, I'm like, you know, I'm going to make pen blanks. And then I bought some Alumilite and didn't read the instructions. So I thought I could just guess at how to mix it. And that just
did not work well.
Didn't
work out for you.
Kind of like our buddy Sam in Australia.
Oh, yeah. With Sam with his lamp and like the...
That was the coolest thing.
It came out really great.
That was the winner, in my opinion. I love that thing.
It was it was the really happy little accident.
Not mine or Steve's.
I'm sorry, yours, huh? yours.
I'm about to say we can't mute you and kick you off.
Hey man, I wasn't even thinking. I forgot. I entered the challenge.
I totally missed that challenge.
I missed the last one that Vincent did, but I was moving.
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to get in. In that challenge,
I was like so busy at the time. I didn't.
The Enlightenment challenge was a really fun challenge, and
I was jealous that I'd missed that. I really wanted to be part of it, and I didn't. I found out about it way late. So,
Yeah. Well, we're hoping our challenge is just as good, and we did this just the same amount of turnout.
Yeah. Aim drop.
Boom.
Right. Exactly. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Nudge, nudge.
Anyway. So I had a question for you. Emmett, so you mentioned earlier and just now the maker swap. So I noticed that you did them throughout the whole, pretty much throughout that whole year.
I did, I did two a month.
Of 2020, 2 months, which was impressive, one, to say the least. Two, just I think was a really great way of, you know, networking and connecting with other makers. And what was the driving force behind that? What really inspired that?
That was exactly the driving force. So I got back into wood. I wood turned when I was a kid. So I was probably mid to late teens. My dad got a lathe and he always had a wood shop and that kind of thing. And I've always been a maker. I didn't even know what a maker was. Had no, you know, I just liked to tinker and make things. I like to work with my hands. Like I'll make anything. I've made every curtain in this house. So, nice. I've worked with my grandmother, taught me how to crochet, how to cross stitch, how to work on a sewing machine. I can do anything. I mean, not toot my own horn, but yeah, that was, so when
toot our horns all the time.
Exactly. So I fell in love with Chris Fisher, the blind wood turner. I don't know if you've ever seen him. So again, I had no idea. Like, I don't look at people as, you know, these big YouTubers and stuff. So I reached out to Chris and I'm just like, hey, would you like to do a bowl swap with me? I've never even turned a bowl. I was like, I'll turn my first bowl and whatever. So he sent it back and I was like, that was super fun, you know, shooting the video and then and doing the unboxing video. So then that was like November or something like that. So I had that idea right before the new year. So I ran. Right. It was kind of cool. My wife liked it because she likes the hobby, but she doesn't like stuff. Tchotchkes, as we were talking about earlier.
Yep.
Right. It's like, so you can make it and so, just get rid of it.
Yeah. The problem was, is they sent me something. So the problem was I got rid of what I'd made, but I still got something in return.
Right.
But that was, I wanted to network. I was still pretty new. You know, I just started in May of 19.
All right.
Yeah, and that was the whole reason. I just wanted to network, meet people. I thought it would be fun to make something for somebody and then get something in return. And it was a great, and then being the nasty, weird year it was a distraction. So it kept me really busy.
Well, it was also actually a good year for makers.
For sure.
It was, except for I have a day job that never stopped. So
yeah, I did this.
My life never changed. I still went to work daily.
What is your day job?
I'm an executive assistant for U-Haul, Northwestern PA.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think you did mention that to me once before, but all right. U-Haul. So you're helping all the people in the middle, of all this, like that are getting kicked out of their apartments, basically move.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a crazy year.
Yeah. What was it like on that side with U-Haul? Cause I mean, with people quarantined, that you wouldn't think there wouldn't be a lot of movement, but from what you're telling me.
Yeah, it actually was, in the beginning, the very first couple months, it was slower, but it still never stopped. But then as it went on, like through the summer, we do bike racks and hitches, and they exploded just because everybody wanted to be outside.
Nice.
So yeah, it was a crazy year.
Yeah, I've been trying to find this person that you were talking about. The blonde, was it blonde wood?
Blind. He's blind.
Blind. I thought you said blonde. I'm like, man, well, that is going to be so. He hard might be blind. Blind. Gotcha.
Oh, Chris Fisher's his name.
I've seen his stuff. Yes.
Amazing. I have the bowl that he sent me. It sits on my desk.
Wow.
Wow.
It blows my mind that he's blind. But yeah, in the beginning of my video, I was like, I'm going to turn this blind. And I put it was kind of corny. My wife thought it was corny, but I put a blindfold on and turned my lathe on. And then it scared the crap out of me just shooting that scene.
There it is. All right. Well, shout out to Chris Fisher this week. A little preemptive, but sorry. I get zoomed on things and I'm like...
He's super amazing. It blows my mind that he can't see.
Well, you know, they say that, you know, when you lose one sense, other ones become more.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true per se. I think it's just you get more in tune with the four other senses or five, depending on, you know, your philosophy.
Someone would say that they get enhanced.
Yeah. Enhanced. Yeah. Speaking of enhanced. So Emmett, how are you doing?
Still good.
That is still good. That was a horrible segue.
Yeah, very. I mean, we need to do better. So
I'll try to do better. So do something.
Ta-da! I don't know. I don't like being put on the spot here.
But I do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much both of them.
So I mean, you turned when you were young. You know, younger man, you're turning now. What was really the catalyst for you getting back into making?
Jake Thompson, actually.
Really?
The crazy, it was weird. So I watched a video of his, I think it wasn't Hulk. It was, Dead Rise. Yeah.
Dead Rise.
Deadpool.
Yeah. Yeah. Deadpool
So, I had been trying to get, I also collect terrible towels from the Steelers.
Okay. I'm sorry for that, but okay.
I actually hold a world record largest collection, but anyway, I digress.
Really?
Yes. So I wanted a small terrible towel in just a resin cube. That's all. I mean, I didn't know how to pour resin. So I was going to try it, but I didn't want to screw it up. So I reached out again, oblivious to people from YouTube. So I just emailed him and said, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And I'd reached out to a couple other people and they were like, no, not really. And I was like, I'll print the towel. I'll make one on my silkscreen. Mm-hmm. I'll send it to you. You put it in a cube and I'll pay you for it. So he was like, yeah, I'll do it for you. So I sent him a towel. We became kind of friends. I started talking to him and Jamie Page. And
nice.
That's a bad couple to start talking to. But anyway. And
I like Jacob.
And so it evolved with Jake to from a cube to a football, and then he cast his hand, and then he made it come out of AstroTurf. And there's a video of that on his channel.
Yeah, I see that one.
So that's how it started. So then I had started watching YouTube videos, like, of course, the Nick Zimettis and the normal Carl Jacobson and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, man, I remembered how relaxing it was, you know, even as a teenager. Mm-hmm. I was like, I wouldn't mind doing that again. So I started looking and talked to Jamie and talked to Jake. And I'm like, you know what? I could make pens, and it looks like you can get into this pretty inexpensive. Joke was on me.
I'll do videos. That's yeah, gotta be right, easy.
Lead down that rabbit hole.
So I didn't realize that you become addicted to buying little pieces of wood when you are turning. And mm-hmm. yeah, so that's where I bought a small lathe, just a little Winn. They're like $150-170 on Amazon. And bought, you know, Jamie kind of made a little list for me of, you know, get yourself a pen mandrel, get yourself a mandrel saver, and get yourself a cheap little set of tools. I do all carbide because I don't have the room. We have a one car garage that my wife parks in. So I get the very front right. of the garage. That's my area. So I didn't want to junk it up, you know, like a sharpener. I didn't want to have to learn how to do traditional tools, even though that's what I used when I was a kid. But again, that was also like 30 years ago. So I bought carbide, so I didn't have to worry about that. I did buy a little bandsaw to cut my pen blanks and things, but yeah, I tried to get to in it as cheaply as I could. I wanted to use the lathe as my pen, I didn't want to buy a drill. So I bought a Jacobs chuck and did all my drilling on the lathe. And
that's it. One of my chucks.
Yeah, your job. It works great. Yeah, and of course, now that, you know, I upgraded to a Laguna a couple weeks ago, and nice. I bought on new Easywood tools, and that's where it got expensive. But I haven't used the Easywood tools yet. I'm super excited.
So since you're talking about Laguna and Winn, I have a Winn bandsaw, and I have it's kind of like a 6-inch sanding disc, and then it has a band sander on it,
which belt sander,
yeah, which
combo or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No offense to Winn, but I would not get that combo.
I like mine.
It works, but
yeah, and I have I did buy a drill press, a Winn drill press, just a little 9-inch. It actually, not the drill press for what I use it for with pen blanks, it's garbage because it doesn't go down far enough. So I rarely use it, but I still have it.
Yeah. So we're talking, and the reason I bring it up is we're talking about Winn, who is known for not being the most quality that you can get, but Laguna definitely has the quality brand behind them. So pretty much, what's the difference between the two, in your opinion?
So, well, honestly, so far I've turned one pin from the Coca-Cola one for my brother on the Laguna. Sorry.
Okay.
So now we can. There goes that question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just so far on my, you know, using it, powerful. It's way. I mean, a third horsepower to a horsepower is much different. The little Winn lathe weighed about 40 pounds. The Laguna weighs 120. So yeah, definitely a.
Stability
it's a beast compared to the Winn. And again, I got nothing bad to say about the Winn. For a beginner lathe for $150-170, it did everything that I wanted it to do. It was a little underpowered whenever I did a bowl or a bigger turning, and it's just because it wasn't made for that. So the problem I had, like doing a bowl or especially hogging out the middle, is the motor would stop. So I would turn for 4 or 5 seconds and it would stop, and I have to reset the, you know, turn it off, turn it back on, and it would. I never stopped and never turned back on, but it was a pain in the rear, trying to turn a bowl, just, you know, stop, start, stop, start, start. And you can see it sometimes in my videos. I do speed them up, but I use the stop points of where I cut my videos. So I like run it like 30 seconds and then I would use the two stop points. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can hear it even sped up, you know, me turning it on and off. But yeah, the Laguna's a beast. I'm excited to get on it. The problem is I built my workbench for the Winn, and now the Laguna where I'm cutting is about 6 inches higher. So it's a little uncomfortable. So
you may have to get a box.
I was going to cut my bench down and step it, cut it down about 6 inches and step it. And then I just mentioned to my wife the other night, you know, Laguna makes a really nice base, but they're like $300. And she was like, if it would be easier, and I had already hit the buy button on Amazon before she could get the sentence out of her mouth. You got, when you get that, okay, you got to run with it.
Well, if it'd be easier, I mean,
she like, was like, if, it, if like, you think it would be easier, I was like, purchase. I was already in my cart.
It was in my cart. I just had to hit buy it.
So I just got like,
right. You're like, I'm sorry, you said something.
Yeah. So I still got to cut the bench down to make room for that, but I don't have to step it. I think it'll be easier just to chop it off, put a leg under it and move on.
So basically tonight you might get lathed.
Yeah. Not when she sees it come in the mail.
Wow. Getting lathed through the mail.
Everybody's going to get lathed.
But if you saw on my page, last Saturday was her birthday, and what she wanted for her birthday was for me to clean the shop. And that's the honest truth. I was like, what do you want to do today? And she was like, I want you to organize your shop. And I'm like, all right, that's what you want me to do? And she's like, yeah. So last Saturday and Sunday for probably 12 hours, we started in one corner of the garage, and I threw away something. If I hadn't used it in a year, it went in the garbage. Mm. I got rid of an entire box of small, you know, wrenches and screwdrivers. You know, you don't need 7 screwdrivers or 5 tape measures. So
probably not. It might be a bit excessive.
So,
well, if you're like me, you probably could use the 5 tape measures because I'm always setting one down, and then walking away from it, going, where the hell did I put that? And then you just go back to the toolbox because they're all in there.
Yep.
I've done that many a time. Then I'm like, but do you guys have your? I'll tell you what. So we're going to take a quick break, pay some bills, and we'll be right back with Emmett from Dead Wives Woodcraft. Has your cutting board seen better days? What about those pesky sweat rings on your fine furniture? Do you like to read but find it difficult to hold the book open without your hands getting cramped? Well, friends, we have the place for you. Search Handmade by Vincent Ferrari on your favorite web browser, where his motto is custom for everyone. Whether it's custom woodwork, laser engraving, or jewelry, what you want is only a request away. So visit friend and supporter of the show, Vincent Ferrari, on Instagram and the World Wide Web. Mention code MFIO and Vincent will give you 10% off. If you are in need of a little happy artwork for your home, office, or shop, then be like Jacob and I and many others by stopping by the Creative Ward Gallery on Instagram and Facebook. There you will find many beautiful Bob Ross inspired artworks by the very talented Marion Ward. All are hand painted and no two are exactly the same. So join Jacob and I in our support of this happy little art gallery by picking up your work of art, or work of Marion in this case, for your space or as a gift for family or friends. You won't be disappointed. Mention our podcast and you'll get free shipping in the United States. That's the Creative Ward Gallery on Facebook and Instagram.
And we're back with Emmett from Dead Rise Woodcraft, and Steve is still here as always.
Yeah, I made it back. I didn't forget where we were.
So we got to make sure that we shout out our supporters on Buy Me a Coffee.
Oh, let's do. Who are they this week?
This week, well, we still have David from First Do Woodwork and Tony from Tony Langer from Langer Works. Both of those guys generously donated to us on Buy Me a Coffee. And if you heard us through the break, you know that Vincent Ferrari and Marion Ward both also sponsor us as well. So we are grateful to everybody that helps us do this show and truly appreciate it.
And you can sponsor us too on Buy Me a Coffee at Figuring It Out, because we couldn't get makers because there was a number of letters you could only use.
Because of white.
Yeah. Didn't lathe right.
Mm-hmm. Didn't lathe right. No, not at all.
That's going to be the running joke for the entire thing.
Well, you know you're going to hashtag that, right?
Yes.
Hashtag
no, lathing. Hashtag get lathed.
Hashtag get lathed. Hell yes. I like it.
L-A-T-H-E-D. I think.
I'm writing that down now. Yep. Get lathed.
Listen to the next episode where the makers get lathed.
Get lathed.
That's good.
I'm totally making a shirt for that.
Or yeah, because yeah, get lathed. So
Steve, yes. Did you remember your question? I did. That you wanted to ask?
Well, Emmett? I don't know if it's the same question, but I'm going to ask this question. So, for those of us who are not football fans or major football fans, what is a terrible towel?
It's a Steeler thing. It's a rally towel.
Oh, okay.
But it's been around in the Steelers since 75.
Okay.
Myron Cope, he was the voice of the Steelers for 35 years. He came up with the idea back in 1975 for a playoff game and just told fans to bring a yellow towel to the stands and wave it.
And they did.
And they did. And then a couple years later, he, of course,
patented the idea.
He's got the copyright. Well, had the copyright on it, and it's his son is extremely autistic, and it lives in a home for special need kids. His son's probably, I don't even know, in his 40s or no, probably in his 50s or older, and still lives there. But all the proceeds go to that. The school actually owns the rights.
Really?
Yeah, he gave the school the rights, or the home or whatever. It's called Allegheny Valley School. But yeah, he gave them the rights to it all a while ago. So
sweet. And it's always a kind of a cool story behind some of those things.
Yeah. It's the Steelers own part of the rights. I mean, they own all the licensing rights, but yeah, the school actually owns the rights to it. So
right.
Oh, that's interesting. Didn't know that.
And it goes to a good cause. So.
Yep. And if you want to.
No, I like how you started off.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying I like how you started off that answering that question with the long.
You know, if you're not a Steelers fan, you don't like it.
Exactly. Like, oh, I got to explain it again. Like, why doesn't this guy just know?
Yep. Well, I have a buddy that actually works. I think he might run the sound at the stadium. Actually, I was stationed with the guy when I was in Washington, D.C. He was a big Steelers fan, and then he got a job working at the stadium. And I don't know if he was running lights or sound, but, I mean, can you imagine that being your job? Light and sounds for your favorite football team?
Yeah, that'd be a dream come true.
I mean,
I just got into Steelers, so.
Oh, okay.
In 2001 when I moved here, because I didn't have a team.
Bandwagon fan. Bandwagon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I worked for the Pirates for a bit. I was on the grounds crew for 4 years. It was super fun.
Oh, I thought you meant the other kind of Pirates, you know, the ones in.
All right. Do you know that I work for
the Saints? Yeah. Right? That's right. I forgot you worked for the Saints.
Yeah. And so, I mean, working for them is kind of cool.
Is it your favorite team, though?
Of course it is.
It's not the team that I agree with. It's my favorite team now.
When they sign your check, you're.
I was gonna.
Exactly.
Well, I could have gotten. No, but at least nobody from the team. Nobody from the team listens anyway.
Players come in and say hi. Yeah, it's my favorite team. Absolutely.
No, I enjoyed working for the Pirates. I miss it. It was a fun part time job that I did. But yeah, I got my current job with U-Haul. I took a promotion and I just didn't have time. I work 6 days a week and I wanted a life on the day I had off, not playing the dirt at the Pirates.
Yeah, know what you mean. Know what you mean. So, words. Words are hard once again.
Words are hard. They're crickets. Yep. So I meant, I noticed that you also have an Etsy shop.
That's the question. Thank you.
You have
it. There's nothing on it, I don't believe, but I do have one.
There's nothing on it now, but you have sold things previously. Yeah. So, is there plans to like put up more, or what's the idea with that? Is just kind of like to semi support the hobby?
Yeah, I mean, it's just to buy more wood. But yeah, I stick it on just to not end up with 500 pens that I'll never use. Mm-hmm. When I sell it, it is cool that someone would buy something, but yeah, it's just, they expire and I forget to go look at it and that kind of thing. Usually around Christmas time, I open everything back up and I'll sell 4 or 5 pens and to get rid of them. But yeah, it's there. I don't really do it. I don't do it for the money. I've said from the beginning, I don't do it for the followers and I don't do it for subscribers. When it comes to analytics, I could care two craps. I don't look at, I don't even know how to, half the time when I go to the analytics page, I'm like, I can't remember how to get there. Like I'm looking for it, like to look for something, but yeah, I don't pay attention to that. I mean, I always said if I were to make a little bit of money from YouTube, which I got a long ways to go, but It would be cool, but I don't care. I could care less.
So you cheerfully just do it for
the my first passion when I was a kid was photography. That's actually what I went to school for. That's where I met. Well, I'll get to that. I like photography. I can mess with Photoshop for hours. It's like making to me. I can. That's how I do my t-shirts, you know, my design. I don't do Illustrator. I don't even know how to use it. But editing videos is very similar. So I enjoy the editing process. You know, my videos, if you look at my page, I get like 75 views a video. If I get 100, I'm excited, you know, whatever. Like I said, the Elgin one with that 4,000, it's like, that's a stupid little unboxing video, but whatever. Yeah, but I mean, I don't do it for the views. I don't really care. I enjoy the editing. I enjoy making the thumbnails, even though I don't think I'm good at the thumbnails. I like what I make. I've had other makers tell me.
Well, that's all that, honestly, that's really all that matters is if you enjoy what you're doing. You know, we do want to give a shout out to all our listeners because I think we forgot to do that. Well, we haven't forgot to do it. We haven't forgotten.
We just haven't done it yet.
How's that? But it's just like our, you know, listeners, and we thank them all for listening, and keep listening, by the way, because we got episode 52 coming up. You know, we got to build the hype for that one. But compare our stats to anybody's. We're just looking at our stats, going, hey. We think that's pretty good, Jacob and I, and we don't want to know if it's pretty good or if it's horrible.
Exactly,
because that. Well,
We kind of know the numbers of a couple of other shows, but for us, as long as there is growth, and you can always measure growth against yourself, as long as you can see the numbers and what you're getting. If it's more than what it was last week, or more than what it was the month before, that's growth. You're pushing the needle forward. You know, you're moving ahead, and that's all that really matters. As long as like you feel that you're improving and that you're keep going forward, or you keep, you know, you're doing it because you love it, and you know, you're getting some kind of return from that.
Yeah, because we are trying to make some money off the podcast.
I'm about to say, you need to shut your whore mouth. But
we'll be correct. We are trying to make some money off the podcast, but we're not trying to make a living off of it.
Right. If it can pay for itself, it would be great.
Would be awesome.
Turning wood with the tools that I'm not paying to turn, believe me. I like doing it. It's therapeutic in the garage. It's therapeutic in front of the screen.
It's something you enjoy, and it's where you could just let everything go because it's between you and and your wood.
It's just you and your
wood. I love going to the garage and playing with my wood.
He likes getting lathed in the garage.
So many people do.
but I mean, it is therapeutic. Some people say that sanding,
that's not therapeutic.
It's the most, it's the most painful. Worst part.
I try to power through that as fast as I can and move on.
Honestly, you know what's therapeutic for me when I had my shop was sharpening my chisels. That was very therapeutic. I don't know if it was just the rhythm, of the back and forth of on the stone, or whether it was the sound, but it was very therapeutic for me. And I spent like 4 hours the one night, and then the next day I had claws because my fingers wouldn't move right because they were still in the same.
Right, you had trigger finger. But for me, honestly, it's the whenever I'm cutting, like hand cutting anything with my Japanese pole saw, and getting that nice smooth cut and really just getting that motion in. That for me is the therapeutic part of where I'm getting, because like the saw can cut quickly, but just taking my time and doing it right and making sure to get that nice straight cut. That for me is like a really nice.
Well, point.
That's my therapy.
I mean, if you ever think about it, you know how they have those sound machines for sleeping, things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, it they're based on science, and it's the science of when the child is in the womb. There, you can still hear. When we're in the womb, we can hear, but it's muffled or something like that. But it hits a certain frequency, And that's what puts us, right. You know, lulls us into it. So if you think about it, whenever you're in that, I would call it a Zen state, think about what's, you know, what's happening. Think about the sound or the rhythm, mm-hmm. you know, it's probably because, yep. you know, when your mom had you in her belly, that's mm-hmm. the rhythm that she had, the cadence, that kind of thing. So yeah, a little bit of science for you. See, there's another educate part.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like it's definitely, it's the rhythm, it's the sound, the reverberation, the concentration, like you're concentrated on this one thing. So the rest of the world is kind of just drowned out and you have to focus on what you're doing to get a nice cut. And yeah, I think a lot of what you said too could be it as well. It could explain why I tend to fall asleep while on long driving trips.
Right,
because like the sound of the road and like that low hum as you're going
and
down.
And then you have it. Then if you're on a freeway, you got the thump, the thump.
You got the dotted lines going by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and that's why a lot of parents take their kids. I mean, you guys don't know this, but you know, well, probably do, but not from experience. I'm just going to shut up now. But anyway, when you're driving down the road, you still get that. That's how you get some kids to go to sleep. You just
I fall asleep.
When my son was here visiting, he had my little, 6-month-old grandson. He was like, "We'll be back. We're going to take a drive." Okay. You're like, "You don't want to know why?" And I'm like, "I know exactly why.
I can hear why."
You know. Yeah.
Please take a drive.
Yeah. Now, actually, he wasn't crying. He just didn't want to go to sleep. He just wanted to stay up with all the adults, kind of like we all do when we're kids.
Right. So much energy. I wish I had that much energy anymore.
Right. But let's get back to on topic.
Yeah. Back. We'll circle back around.
So,
now.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Well, no, you go ahead.
Okay.
I did
right. So, hopefully we didn't discuss this. So what made you, Emmett, want to videotape your stuff? Besides, I mean, was it the photography
and was it talking with Jake?
It
Jake
was Thompson yeah yeah well? It was more again wasn't really for the viewers, it was more like just to document it,
to see your progress,
see myself get better hopefully, and then mm-hmm. and just to have something, you know, I figured it's there forever.
Especially when the ball falls in half, potentially when a sphere breaks in half, you got it on camera.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that was it really. I mean, that and just, I wanted to kind of mess with, I bought a, GoPro ish camera. It's not a GoPro, it's a cheap GoPro. But I wanted to take it on vacations and stuff, but I wanted to mess with editing more. So
what better way?
Awesome.
Yeah, and I like what you said about earlier about how you like the process of editing, and I got to say I do too as well. Like there was this editing class or video and not photography, but it was a video class that I had in high school. So we learned to compose a scene, like shoot it, and learn editing and stuff like that. And I never would in a million years thought that I would have gone back to that. But a lot of what I do now, I kind of vaguely reference back to that and then more of what I've learned as I've been going on. But I do enjoy the process. It's something very satisfying of getting that perfect scene cut down to that nice transition into the next one and just how syncing things up just right. Something very satisfying.
And it's an art. Some people have the talent for it. Some people don't. But I think... And it's kind of like music. You can play the notes, but in order to act, you could play the notes, but then you can also feel the notes. So pretty much anybody could learn how to play a guitar, but can they actually play music is the difference. So, I mean, that's pretty much where you're both coming from.
Right.
Yeah. The human mind is a wonderful thing and also a crappy thing, especially in my age.
But.
Huh? What?
Say something?
Hey, shiny who object. Are you guys?
Look here, kids. All righty. So should we transition? Actually, no. Before we do that, I want to ask a question that I enjoy asking of the makers that we have on here. So I mean, yeah, I mean, you're turning pens, you're doing some of the YouTube videos, you're on Instagram, you occasionally put them up on Etsy. What does the future look like for you?
I honestly, probably the same. I don't look at growing. I mean, I'm sure it will grow, like you said. I'll see it slowly move. But I don't know. I've been in a rut for really since January, since the maker swap stopped. I was just like, I had a schedule that I was on, and then it was gone. So I kind of just took a break from it for a little bit. My channel kind of went quiet. Mm-hmm. I didn't stop completely because I did that diamond painting that was sent to me that really had nothing to do with woodwork. But I've been kind of, you guys know how it is too. Every once in a while, it's just, I want to get out in the shop and make something without worrying about moving a camera over here or forgetting the tip play and that kind of thing. So that's kind of what I did for, January, February, March. I kind of want to get back into the videos, but I don't know. I kind of want something like the maker swap. I was talking about that with my wife just the other day. I don't know what idea I need to.
Well, maybe that could be your thing. I mean, like, you enjoy the maker swap and seeing that the other people enjoyed it as well. And like it, it's good content as well. So maybe that's just what you should do. You should get, like, you can get it back onto a schedule like you like, and then just, collab with
it. It was super fun. I loved doing it, but I wouldn't do it twice in a month. Cause shooting two maker videos, two unboxing videos, it got a little,
once a month, sold.
I even thought maybe like every other month, just cutting it down a little bit more. I just got to do more people in the United States. Nothing against my UK makers, but it got pretty expensive sending stuff overseas. And then a couple of things got lost coming here. Jamie Page's, I never got it. There was a couple that got lost. So
for the audience,
good old USPS. Yeah,
so for the people in our audience that don't know, what actually is a maker swap?
I
understand it's swapping something with another maker.
And it's exactly what it sounds. Yeah, it's just I made something for them and they made something for me and we swapped it.
Okay. Because I thought it was something what Jacob was doing. Honestly, I didn't know what a maker swap was. I thought it was what was it a collab where they made half of something and then you finished the other half? See, that's what I thought a maker swap was, where they would make something.
That's a collab. Right. That's a collab. And I still actually have to do that. I still have the materials as like a part of our Mystery Maker collab. That was last year that I'm supremely behind.
I did get on that list though, because I watched the unboxing that you did of your unboxing box.
Yeah, the one that I got from Justin, the shipwreck box, which was awesome.
And it was really cool.
Yeah, that thing is incredible. And I had to do one for Christy. So I still got to get to that. And I have an idea of what I want to do and that I'm in the space. I have more ability to actually do it. I just need to get the materials to do it. But I also have like four or five other projects that are in front of that now that I'm kind of committed to as well. So I just got a lot of things going on. It's good that I'm busy and I have these things that I got to do. But I got to get to it eventually. It's definitely on the list. Now that the couch caddy's done, it's definitely like the next one that's up there. And then I have another one that's coming up. But yeah, collab is where someone like sends you something and you both kind of put hands on it, right? Right, Adam? And then a swap is where you both make them separately and then you exchange them.
Okay.
I would say is like the
separate. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I have no idea if that was a thing before I didn't follow anybody that hard, but I was like, I don't know. That's a cool idea. I had a fun doing it with Chris Fisher with that bowl. And so I was like, yeah, why not? Yeah. And I went.
You also did one with Grant.
Yeah.
Grant Alexander.
Yeah, I did. Grant was, that came out awesome too. That was another one that I was like over the moon with and did not want to send it to Grant, but. It was really bad. Like every time I made one of these things, and of course, I had these things written down. Like I want to make a beer bottle for Grant, and I was like, "There's no way in hell this is going to work." I did. That's what I feel like most of the time when I start something, and it's And sometimes like I made the one for my wife with the river running through it, and you know, it looked great. And then I cut the river and I'm like, oh, I screwed this up. This is, you know, I completely screwed it. And then it actually, you know, it came out and Total Boat was happy with it. And I was happy with it. And she was happy with it. That's all that mattered.
As long as everybody's happy with it.
Right.
As long as she's happy with it, that's the main thing. Forget the rest of the world.
But yeah, I don't know. When speaking back to the future. Yeah, I don't know. I had talked about maybe an idea of doing maker video, like making a project, auctioning it off and giving the money to charity. And then it was a way, again, I didn't end up with something. And then if I made something I really liked, I just wouldn't auction that off and not make a video. But yeah, I talked about that with my wife and she thought that was a great idea. You know, auction it off. Any proceeds go to a different charity every month.
That sounds like
a good idea. Like give it back. Right, paint really it back, paint it forward.
Yeah. So. Sure. I don't know how that works, and I don't know, you know, I don't want to make any kind of profit on it because, again.
Hey, you'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out.
Figure it out. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, sir.
And as we remind Steve of something, so we're going to get into our maker shout-outs. And since we have a guest, it is only polite that we let our guests go first. So, Emmett, you've had the whole show, and I'm sure you haven't completely forgotten at all. You had to give.
I actually have it written down before I was on the show.
Hey, you had a pen and it's something to write on.
It's. I think he's fairly new to YouTube. He doesn't have any videos. He's from Korea, I believe it's Korea.
Okay.
Funny backstory. Sorry, I like to go off topic too. So I started watching this guy's videos and reached out. You know, commented. Everything looks great. You're blowing my mind. He's also a Turner. So he started watching my videos and he's like, I noticed you got some black and gold in the background. You must be from the Pittsburgh area. So I'm like, yeah, I am. So he's like, I actually got my master's degree in furniture making and turning at Indiana University of Pennsylvania, which is about 40 minutes from my house. But he's now he's back in South Korea. But his name's Woodboy is what he goes by on YouTube. He is amazing. I every time he puts a video out, it's just like he's gonna be, I don't want to say like the next Nick Zometti, but the stuff he's turning is amazing. Check out the one he just did of the Abraham Lincoln will blow your mind, that he makes a silhouette of Abraham Lincoln out of wood turning.
Yeah, I'm looking at that now.
I watched that video when it came out and I was like, how does this work?
That's incredible.
I found him with the Coke bottle. The Coke bottle in a Coke bottle is another one that will blow your mind. He does a lot of inside out turning, and it's just amazing.
Oh yeah, the Coke.
Did you say Wood Boy as
Wood Boy? Yep, W O O D B O Y.
Yeah, I'm looking at his stuff now. He's got some pretty good numbers on here.
Yeah, he's pretty new. He's up to like 3,000 or a little over 3,000. The last time I looked, I think.
Like it.
Yeah, 3.4.
Yeah, when I found him, I think he had like 300. Yeah, he's blowing up. And like I said, I'm not going to say he's going to be the next Nick Zometti or anything like that. He might be. The stuff that I, in my opinion, it's gorgeous. Turnings.
I can't find him.
Yeah, just put Wood Boy.
One word.
One word.
That could be it because I put it in two words.
Well, I put it in two words too, but it came up for me.
It's.
Oh, I get Woo Boy. I got Wood Boys.
I don't want to know what that is.
I don't either. Well, I mean, anyway,
don't Google that.
I'm not going to Google.
Exactly. Get off your Pornhub search.
Shh. Only for me. Yeah. Wood Boy Studios.
Is that what it is?
It's no.
Oh no, I don't know.
No.
But it's just on here. Just
it's
Wood
like
Boy.
A, it says yeah, Wood it's Boy. Like a blue. With WB.
Yeah, it's a blue logo with a W.
He's only got 14 videos, but he's got 3,400 subscribers already.
Yeah. Doing pretty well.
Oh, you guys are looking on Insta or YouTube, aren't you?
Oh yeah. He doesn't have Instagram. Yeah, I sent him a message and said, do you do sticker swaps? And he's like, what's a sticker swap? I was like, oh, that's an Instagram thing. Sorry. So
you need to get with it.
So he was like, sure. And I was like, well, how about I'm your first one? And he was like, all right. So I sent him a sticker.
Well, I just friended somebody or followed somebody on Facebook or Instagram, but they made some cool stuff too. But anywho.
Hey, as long as it works out.
Yeah, you know, see, that's the way I kind of look at it.
Oh. Speaking of sticker swap, I happen to have, I'm looking at your sticker on my sticker wall right now. Mine? Emmett.
Oh.
No, hey, not yours.
Pretty much.
Like, I don't need this crap.
That's what I say. Hey.
But yeah, Emmett, I got yours right here on mine.
Yep, I have a sticker ceiling because, again, I didn't have any room, so. But nice. I did panels so that I can take them with me if I were.
I was thinking about doing my shop is just putting getting one of those, what do you call it, dry erase boards and just putting those on there.
I did aluminum, like 1/16 aluminum or something like that.
Anyway.
Good shit. Mine's just on a piece of plywood. But all right, Steve, so who's your maker shout out?
You know, I didn't, honestly, I didn't have one until like 5 seconds ago because I was looking through.
You not ready? No.
He was looking at Wood Boys.
Bite me, both of you. So, but I found, I don't know if you guys do it, but what I do is as I'm scrolling through Instagram, I will.
Wood Boys, absolutely not. We don't do that.
Grow up.
Every morning.
Yeah, every morning. Okay. Can I talk about the podcast for once?
Sure.
So I was scrolling through. So what I do is as I'm scrolling through Instagram and you see those suggested posts or a picture that pops up, I will take a screenshot of it and save that in my, you know, future projects folder. So that's what I do because I see something that's kind of cool. And then, you know, if you ever just kind of feel like not inspired that day, you can, you know, try and make one of those. So
you take screenshots of suggestive things?
Suggested, not suggestive. Wow, you guys are in rare form. Getting laid. Yeah.
Wood boys.
Can I get this out?
Go for it. Do you still remember what
it's on my said. It's on my screen. Oh, Jesus Christ. Lord help me. I hope everybody else is laughing.
Gotta hope so too.
This maker, her Instagram handle is Andrea Stockholm, all one word. Okay. And honestly, I don't know if it's he or she because I think it's a she. But they're from actual Stockholm, Sweden, or near Sweden. Could be female. Could be male. I don't. But they had on their page the other day, they made a box. And they made their own hinge, and it almost looks like it's made out of what's that black wood called? Ebony? Is it ebony?
Ebony.
I think that's what the. But they made their own hinge, and it is. Cool. I mean, the workmanship on that hinge. It was. I was just like, oh, I want to try that. I so want to try that. I think it's a girl. Damn it! Move the pictures. But yeah, so if you check,
what?
Go ahead.
What's the Instagram tag again?
Andrea, Andrea Stockholm, as in Stockholm Syndrome, yeah. Stockholm, Sweden.
Got it.
So it is.
Like it's like a white logo with.
Yep, white logo with a mountain on it.
Yeah, well, it's an A and an M, but yes.
Is it an A and yeah? looks like a mountain.
I don't know what that word is under.
I can't pronounce anything in Swedish.
So I think it's the last name, actually, but
it might be. But Andrea, sorry, you know, we're giving you a shout out because you make some incredible things on your page, and so you know, this is kind of where I get some of my inspiration from. Even though I'm not back in the shop yet because it's not even anywhere near finished, but that's how I get inspired is just, you know, scrolling through Instagram. So it was just that picture that came through with, like I said, I think it's an ebony hinge. It was just amazing on how she integrated it into the box. So Andrea, you're my shout out for this week.
That stuff's gorgeous.
No,
She does these things like that Andy Berkey just did. Those things that aren't glued together, but are held together. But a lot of that.
Yep. So that is my maker shout out for today. Jacob, who are you shouting out?
I'm actually shouting out someone who's been on the show before. Nick from Build Dad Build. Geez.
Our buddy.
Oh yeah. The man of the burn himself. So he recently did a video where he compared boiled linseed oil, Danish oil, teak oil, and I think walnut oil, or it was like a Danish oil that had a walnut color finish to it. So he compared all these oil finishes to shoshugi bond, like applying them to burnt and brush shoshugi bond finish, because that's like the traditional way to do it, is with like an oil finish. So he tested it to see if there was like a big color variation, if there's any real difference between them, and lo and behold, none of them truly were any better than the other, and none of them were really any better than the boiled linseed. So that just further solidified that you can go the cheap route with the boiled linseed oil and that it's okay, and that you will get just as good a finish buying these other ones, because it really won't freaking matter.
Well, that's the initial finish, right?
It can be the initial finish. It can also be the last finish that you do as well. What he did the boiled linseed oil, and then he did this wax finish on top of it, which you totally can do. I've done it before where I do two coats of boiled linseed oil and just leave it. And actually, after you apply the oil, it'll sort of solidify as well, the boiled linseed. Once you let it, give it enough time to sit up, it'll kind of congeal and set up, and you'll have a waterproof finish as well.
Okay.
That I found.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And traditionally, when in shoshugi bond, you apply an oil finish to it, it soaks into the wood fibers, and helps it to become waterproof and water resistant. The burning process makes it, fire retardant or fire resistant to insects, to rot and wear, and then the oil finish is what helps it really become water resistant. So I like that, his video of like comparing. I like videos like that when people can compare different products, so you can kind of see exactly what the true results are based off of whatever parameters that they're doing. And so it just really gave me peace of mind. So like, yeah, I can totally just get away with buying this cheap oil, linseed oil, and it's not any better than these other oils. So that's what I liked about it. So he's my shout out for the
Nick week. Is an awesome guy.
He don't know if he still listens to our show. He's been on it a couple times. Or actually, no, not a couple times. He's been on it once. We've mentioned him a few times. But, Nick, if you're listening, just let you know you're still doing a great job. We still love you, man. And keep up the good work.
Absolutely.
All righty. So that's all the shout outs. Steve, do you want to ask the question?
As long as my microphone is not feeding back.
So that means you want me to ask, right?
Pretty much, because for some reason. Hey, we're good. Okay. So, Emmett, as we've already warned you, so we ask this of all our guests. We give them a choice because we're cool like that. So we gave you a choice of would you like to let us know how you met your significant other or your celebrity crush?
I have too many celebrity crushes, so.
Don't we all?
Especially
when they're lathing.
Yeah, exactly. I met my wife. I moved from Virginia to Pennsylvania to go to photography. Oh, wait, am I muted? Okay. Oh. Sorry. It said muted at the top of my screen. Sorry. So I moved here to go to photography school, back in 2001, and, she was already at the school and we became pretty good friends. And then we started dating and that was it. I mean, I'm still here in Pittsburgh after however many years that is.
So who made the move on whom?
I would say her.
She made the first move.
I actually don't remember. I mean, like I said, we got to know each other as friends first,
You do remember her name, right?
Yeah,
her,
yeah. I think she's the anniversary, right? Oh yeah, the anniversary. I'm very good at that. So
yeah, because if you don't remember that, trust me, I've been there three times. You get in trouble all three times.
Oh yeah,
every time.
Yeah,
they'll never let you.
15 years this year. So,
well, congratulations. I don't know what that's like.
Congratulations.
I think all my wives put together might have eked up 13, maybe. But I digress. Back to the show. Not my old failures and stuff like that.
Excellent. So you laid on the smooth moves and it happened.
And it's funny, we both went to photography school. She got a degree. I was like, this is not worth. Sorry, kids, if you go to art school, it's not worth the money. But so yeah, and now the only camera we own is on an iPhone, and I own two little action cameras that I film my YouTube with. That's it. I don't even own a camera. I enjoyed the dark room side of the photography. So
what's a dark room?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The film was much more interesting to me than the digital at the time. So
that kind of reminds me of a funny quick story. So my aunt,
is it going to be quick? Are we sure it's quick?
So my aunt came over to meet her, you know, great nephew, my grandson, and she had this camera with her, and she's like, "Have you seen this?" And I'm like, "No, Aunt Sis, what's that?" She goes, "Watch." So she, I mean, this thing is huge. It's probably like 7 inches by 5. So she takes a picture of it, or takes a picture, and then the film comes spitting out the top, and I'm like, "That's."
Oh, I'm like, Polaroid?
That's a Polaroid. And, you know, she's like, oh, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I'm like, because she still likes pictures. She likes to put them in her wallet. You know, she has a cell phone, but I just thought it was kind of funny. I'm like, we've gone back in time and, you know, man, you are such an ass, man.
Yeah, funny story, though. Again, on the same thing, my wife and I are still old fashioned when it comes to that. So we take digital pictures and then we go to Walmart and we get them printed and then we delete the digital pictures and then we put them in a box. Nice. I'm looking at 7 boxes of pictures.
Yeah. And I make fun, but like actually hanging right next to me is a memory board thing with a bunch of Polaroids, and we have a Polaroid camera upstairs as well. So I poke fun, but I believe in them too.
Well, the fun,
something about like having that physical picture is different.
Well, it's kind of funny because you can actually buy monitors that actually have a SD slot in them, and you could fill that thing up with as many pictures as you want, and you can hang that in the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have a power supply behind it, but I was like, that'd be a great idea because, and I know they make them, but they're like $500 or $600, and it. But they're only, you know, a 7-inch diagonal screen. And I'm like, no, put it up on a big TV, you know, that way every day something will be different, you know.
You put an SD card in a TV and put it on play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and you don't have to buy that thing. But I think it's because it has the internet and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I digress. Back to the show. I just thought it was, you know, interesting little sidebar.
Little sidebar tidbit. Yep. All righty. Gotcha.
That's not a duck, by the way. Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. That is a woodpecker. 100%.
Thank you very much. 100% a woodpecker. Thank you.
It's not like the Eskimo dog on his, though. Isn't that what it is?
I'm going to actually probably put this one in. Eskimo. That was good. I haven't heard that. Actually,
Eskimo. I couldn't think of what they were called.
All right.
Siberian Huskies.
That's it.
Husky, Malamute, whatever.
I don't
think
it's actually a wolf. It actually is a wolf because that's how I downloaded it. I think.
If you say so.
I'm pretty sure.
No, it's a wolf.
Is that what it said on clip art?
No, I actually paid for the damn thing because I didn't want to. No, that's a wolf.
Just.
You. Like that's a wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay. cutting this out.
So, Emmett, where can everybody find you?
It's very easy. It's all Dead Rise Woodcrafts on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I really don't do Facebook. It's just whatever spills over from Instagram. But
yeah, that's pretty much. You just hit that button and it goes to
exactly. Facebook. And sometimes I forget to hit it. My wife's like, "Did you post something?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I forgot to hit the button."
Although I'm pretty sure though that if you're trying to sell stuff, going to Facebook actually is better than going on Instagram.
Yeah, it actually puts it. If you put a price on the post, it'll actually just put it right into like the Facebook Marketplace.
It's in
a market. I didn't even know I was doing that. Like in the beginning, I'm like, "Why is this on Facebook Marketplace?" I didn't put it on Facebook Marketplace.
Wow, that's an actual tip for our viewers. So yeah, put a price.
I didn't know that.
Put a price in. You'll put everything on Marketplace. So you can put your lathing on.
So you get laid and be paid.
Yeah.
Jacob, where can everybody find you?
You can find me, just look up Nadison Wood Art and you can find me anywhere. Thanks for that, Emmett. Appreciate it. Steve, how about you? Where can everyone find you?
I just look up Wolf Woodworking Creations or Husky Working Creations.
Yeah. That Eskimo dog.
It works.
Yeah, Eskimo Woodwork. Eskimo Dog Woodworks. That's going to be my new name. Mm-hmm. Eskimo Dog Woodworks.
Yeah, it's catchy.
Actually, it kind of is. But at least Jacob could say that instead of, you know, Wolf Woodworking.
Yeah, as you had the two W's together, that's like completely tongue-tying me. There we go. Oh, see, we've come full circle back to the tongue.
We told you it was going to be weird, you know, dude. Damn it.
It's a exactly segue conversation, a lot of sidebar. So, but Emmett, thanks for coming on. It's been a blast having you on. A lot of fun.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. It's been fun. That's the first podcast I've ever been on. So you popped my cherry.
I feel touched in a place that I don't normally feel touched in.
Wow, we are going to get so tagged on this one for
this is so explicit and we are not getting any money from this one.
Yeah, but see, we're not cursing though, so
well, I guess I have to be on the next one, so we'll just do it all over again.
So what are we called, a segue conversation with multiple sidebars?
With a lot of sidebar. Right,
so now we're so now we have suggested comments.
Yeah, I mean, thanks to Steve, who takes screenshots of suggestive things.
Oh, that was funnier than hell. I'm so posting that. Can I post that?
Yeah.
Okay. That's just going to be funny. I'm going to post it next week. And actually, I may just put it on the logo.
All right, boys and girls, we're going to wrap up before this drags on too long. Emmett, thanks again for being on.
Again, thank you.
All right. Thank you to all our listeners. We appreciate every single one of you. All of your listens helps us so much, helps us to grow. All the reviews helps us to get noticed by more people. So if you can't donate and help us monetarily, definitely help us with a review, with a share, with just a listen. We appreciate all the support. And to finish up and to wrap this up, Steve, here at Makers Figuring It Out, it is our mission to educate, motivate, and inspire. And we hope we've done that for you today. So this is Steve and Jacob reminding you to keep learning, keep being motivated, keep getting inspired, and keep figuring it out. And we will see you all next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.